All right, you guys can be seated. You can be seated just for a couple of minutes. This is my favorite Sunday, I think, of the year. This is like my favorite thing that I get to do. And it's basically the mission update Sunday for 2015 for Victory Harvest Church. And so I'm so excited to be able to do this. And I wanted to do it right now before we break, before anything like that, because I wanted to give you guys kind of a what you give towards. And that before we break for offering, anything like that, I wanted to give it. And if you're new here, or if you've been here a while, anything, and you start to get kind of defensive, like, you know, what's he raising money for? What's he, you know, fundraising? What's he doing? And I'm so excited this morning because everything that I'm about to tell you about is completely funded, completely paid for. You guys gave so much during this year that we were able to reach out in all these different areas. And so this morning, you get to hear about it. And so this is, you can clap at any point during this thing, not for me, but for what you guys did. This is like encouragement, hoorah Sunday, all right? So this is, you can sit back, enjoy, just kind of look. I have pictures. I know how this works. You're going to watch those more than you watch me. But this is just like an encouragement Sunday. And right before I start that, though, we do have one announcement that I wanted to make. And that is, if you are a lady in here and you did not receive one of these for your party tomorrow night, you should grab one before you leave. There is a party tomorrow night. It's at 6:30. So if you are, you can tell I am not a lady, and so I didn't know the exact time. But if you are a lady and you would like to go to that, it's completely free. Dinner is provided. Grab one of those on your way out. But guys, I am so excited to be able to tell this because we took a bunch of your money this year and we sowed it into the kingdom of God around the world. That's what we love to do as a church, and it's what we did, and I was so excited to tell the first service about it too. We just sowed it around the world, and some of you might know, I got back from Western Sahara on Sunday night, about a week ago. I got back from the latest trip, and I didn't broadcast this trip because if you threw a dart at the world and you try to pick like the worst place to be an American and the worst place to be a Christian, this would be in like the top 10, like this area that we were going to. And so there was a group of people from the Spanish-speaking countries, from Mexico, from Argentina, and this was not a Christian group. This was just a delegation of like TV reporters and documentary makers and things like that from Argentina, Cuba, Spain, a lot of Costa Rica, a lot of different countries that were all going together to the camps in Western Sahara. And if just a little history on the place. Western Sahara in the 70s was a Spanish territory. Spain pulled out, and there was a power grab by three countries, Algeria, Mauritania, and Morocco, for this area. But there were people already living there. And so Algeria and Mauritania kind of pulled back when they realized, hey, there's people there. And Morocco invaded. And so Morocco pushed all these native people out, and they built this wall called the Wall of Shame, and they pushed them into these refugee camps. So for 40 years, these people have been living in the desert. You can think Children of Israel references there, right? They've been living in the sand, in the desert. And so this was the group that we went to. And so we took a lot of your money, and we bought water tanks, and we bought construction materials, and we took adjustable eyeglasses with Operation 2020. We had all this stuff ready to go with us into the camps. And so on this trip, there were five of us who were Christians, and no one knew we were Christians, and we decided that we were going to let our lifestyle show and just be different, and we would let our lifestyle speak for us in this place. And so we weren't going to go in, you know, just start preaching, you know, from day one, but we were going to let people see that we were different from the rest of the people on the crew. And we decided that that's how we were going to do this, and we were going to go in with these different gifts, because everyone else is coming in with TV cameras, and they're coming in with different things like that. They're more interested in like the novelty of it, and we wanted to show that we were more interested in the people and in loving the people for Christ. And so we went in, and I think we had a picture of the team up there. Yeah, that's them there. That's the other four. And then on this trip, so everybody's from Spain, from somewhere. So there's one American on this trip, and you can guess who he is. And so I did what any other, you know, smart person would do, and I bought a Mexican passport off of eBay, and I stuck my picture in it, and so I had that, you know, way around from Nafta. Anyways, I did do that, but you can see that afterwards. I don't have a picture of it. But anyway, so we go into Algeria and into the camps, and we stayed with this beautiful Muslim family for 2 weeks. We lived with them in this, like, sand kind of hut type thing, and they have a tent they call the Haima and the hut as well. And so we lived there for 2 weeks with them. And it was just an amazing thing to do, to be able just to live life with them, to be able just to let our lives be examples. Because by the first week was over, they had some kids our age. There was a girl, she was about 25, 26, and she wanted to know, by the time the first week was over, she wanted to know why we were different. Because all the other groups were living with other families in the camps, and the people, I guess the families that were hosting groups were talking, because all the other ones were, you know, they were making fun of the toilet, or they were making fun of this, or they were trying to, you know, stick their camera into everything. And we were just there to love people. We were giving out the water tanks that you guys bought. We were giving out glasses to people. We were just trying to care for people. And she wanted to know why we're different. And it's an amazing thing to go in one of these darkest places on earth and be able to say, we're different because Christ called us to do this. Because Jesus told us to go. To make a difference. And I'm going to touch on this a little bit later, but this part right here, I just want to just pat you guys on the, that we were able to do this in this place. And we spent 2 weeks with this family, but we spent 3 days also crossing over the Western Saharan border. We were in Algeria in the camps, and then we crossed over into the military zone where they have this kind of front with Morocco, and Morocco has the wall with their soldiers kind of peering over. And we spent 10 hours crossing the desert, and we spent 3 days living out there where the military was. And there was a hospital there, too, where we were able to give glasses. And it was this amazing connection because I didn't think I would even. I just brought the glasses with us on this trip because I didn't think we were even going to see people to use it for. And I met a guy there, and he said, you know, you should come back. I've got a whole nother camp that I would love for you to come and work in. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, we're coming. We'll come anywhere, you know, anywhere that God opens the door. And it was just an amazing to see that connection where we're able to share the love of Christ. We're able to use all these things as a way just to open the door in one of the darkest areas on earth. And we stopped, and the whole trip was in Spanish because everybody spoke Spanish but me. And so I know enough about Spanish to, you know, find the bathroom and say my name, but it's kind of a little different when stuff is happening and they're explaining things. And I don't know what's going on. So we stopped in the middle of the desert, and you can see the wall. We're about half a mile from Morocco. And so all the Moroccan soldiers kind of peering over, and there's this, like, you know, military zone between us and them that you're not supposed to enter. And I'm thinking, like, you know, why are we stuck? Like, keep moving. And everybody's gotten out, and there's like a group of them. They're all crowded. So I'm trying to weave my head through, you know, see what's going on. And I get to the front, and I poke my head out, and it's a landmine. And I'm like, are you crazy people? So I'm going back as far as, like, they're all taking pictures, and I'm thinking we're all going to blow up. And there's a bunch of them. There's another one there, and another one. And it's like the thing, and they think it's like this, again, it's TV crews, so I don't know what's going through there. They think they're going to get a good shot, and I'm thinking we're all going to blow sky high. And I had that thought, like, I am the voice of reason in this situation. If you know me, that is like the nuttiest thing that could possibly. I was like, I am the rational one, like, back. And so I think we have a picture there. That's actually all the mines they did find already, and then these are the ones that are still live. So that's one of the crazier. This is after the whole group, you know, backed away from it. He went to get his shot. This is my shot from about 20 feet away. And so, but it was this nuts kind of thing. But there are people out there. Every time we go, there'd be like another tent. And we were able to give glasses. We were able to give something to them. It'd be like a nomadic tent out in the desert. And it was an amazing thing to see these people and be able to reach them. Some people never been reached before. And that's something you guys did. And it was just, this morning, I just want to encourage you. Like I said, everything you guys paid for, you guys gave and did. This is not like, I need you guys to give this morning because of that. This is just a pat on the back. So when you're having your Christmas this year, or you're doing whatever it is with your family, just remember you were a part of this. That this is what we did as a church. But I wanted this morning to be a complete kind of missionary update. So that was just the most recent one. And just to tell this, and I told this in the first service, and I'm keeping this more low-key. It's not going to be on the online, so you had to show up to see this this next picture. But this is one believer that we were able to meet with in the camps. And I blurred his face out because I'm not an idiot. We're not, you know, I don't want to bring any danger to him at all. So I apologize if you don't like the blurred out picture. But this is a believer who lives in one of the camps, and we were able to meet with him. We called him Apollo. It's not his real name, but we called him Apollo. And he lives as a Christian in probably one of the most dangerous, like I said, areas to live as a Christian in the world. And we were able to meet with him and just encourage him. And if you see in the background, those are the tanks that you bought. And that's the construction material because they had a rain about a month before we got there. And for those guys in the desert, a rain is like the most catastrophic thing that can happen because their houses are made of sand. And so there's so much destruction. They lost so much during this rain. And so we were able to buy construction materials for this town. And in the middle is the governor of the town. And he doesn't know that Apollo is a Christian. All he knows is that somehow Apollo is connected with us and we brought supplies for his town. And so now this Christian who's been living in such a dangerous area has this kind of, not security, but he has this kind of new status with the governor of his camp. And he has this new status with his own people and his own families. And they know because of Apollo, we brought this stuff. And so it was just an amazing thing. You might think it's one person. But we were able to show him, hey, there's a church and there's a people who care about you and who are praying for you. And we were able to help you with this. And so now next year, there's going to be a Spanish soccer team that's going to go down there as well. And they know that it's because Apollo brought them. And so everyone else now likes Apollo. Like, there he's like the top guy in the camp, right? Because of this, because of what you guys did. So we were able to help someone who's living his life as a Christian in one of these dark areas. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. That's what you guys did. And we didn't stop there, though. You remember in July, we got back with our team, the second team we had done down to Cuba. And with Pastor Lyon, and we told you how from the gifts that you guys gave and from the gifts that the team gave, we wanted to give towards. He had 100 people meeting in his backyard, and he had a tree back there he told me about. And it was this old tree, and he was so proud of it, you know, saying, like, this is like over 100 years old, and it's like a landmark in this area of Havana. And he had told us about this tree, but his church was meeting kind of under the shade of it, but it wasn't covering but maybe 10, 15 people. And then, you know, he had 120, and so he couldn't meet when it rained, and he couldn't meet, you know, when the sun was out too hot. And so he was wanting a church. And so we raised money from the team and from you guys that gave, and we gave him enough to build a church, basically a roof and lights and things. And so a few weeks ago, he sent us this picture, and you can see he's built it, and his church has grown where he can't fit under it anymore. And what I want to tell you this morning, I'm not raising money. Remember, you guys gave enough. The next time we go to Cuba, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, next time we go to Cuba, we have enough to enlarge it already. That's done, right? It's all right. You, like I said, you clap as much as that you guys did. We have enough to enlarge the church with it. And so this is Pastor Lyon's church in Cuba that you're part of. It's not like we're building a mini victory, right? We're not like telling you need to do your service this way, and we want you to do this and sing these songs. It's nothing like that. We just recognize this is the kingdom of God in a place around the world, and we just want to sow into it. We believe in your ministry. We partner with you, and we just want to help you build a roof so you guys can have church in the rain, and you guys can have church at noontime, and you can have church whenever the heck you want to have church. And this is the kingdom of God that you guys are sowing into. You've seen the tree in the back here, right? And I want to thank Ms. Sandra Broussard for working so hard for this outreach in the Ukraine. I just want to honor her for that. And I came back on Monday. I went back there. I got back on Sunday, went back there, and I was so afraid. I was like, I'm going to have to buy so many gifts, you know, for people who didn't take that. Every name got taken that you guys took. We're just going to clap all morning long, right? This is, right. Again, you guys, every name got taken. Every child has a gift for Christmas. And that's something you guys did in the Ukraine. And that's because there's a lady there named Marina and her husband, Sasha, that they decided they were going to have their home and form this charity center. And the way that they're different is the Ukraine sometimes gives money for each child, and they give like a little money to help the child in the orphanages. But what this charity center does is not only do they share the gospel with the child, not only do they feed them, but they exist solely on donations. And so they just exist on donations. They take every piece of money that the government gives for the child, and they save it. And when the child gets old enough, they use it to buy them an apartment, to get them a job, and to make them a functioning member of society in the Ukraine. It's an amazing ministry. And we got hooked up with it because the Stuckies, Mark and Jan, were using it. And they came to me and they said, you know, there's some other people around the states that want to give. Can we consolidate them? And so we said, sure. As a church, we just take in the donations. So they get a tax credit, everybody who wanted to give. And we give it all at once, so there's only one fee. It's very low because we've done this, you know, multiple times. And so we give, and so that's how we started, and we just got connected with them. And as each month went by, we got more connected, find out more about what they do and what they did. And then we decided that this Christmas, this would be our outreach. And so we're going to continue to support them next year. We'll continue, as you guys are a part of this, you guys gave towards it, and we just want to continue to help these kids because we believe in this ministry. This is something around the world that we're able to sow into, that we're able to do. You guys remember we in Haiti, we've done now 3 or 4 teams down there to Cap Haitien. And Brother Maxon, the pastor in Haiti that we support, he came. He was here just a few months ago. You remember Brother Jack Iverstein has been so connected with him and connecting our church with him for the last 4 or 5 years now. And it's just, it's an amazing thing to see his ministry in Cap Haitien. And that's something we support. A lot of you guys give so faithfully every month to help support the school there and the kids there and the teachers and pay their salaries. And he's like a light in that on that hill where he sits. He's like this beacon to his community. He has water for them. He does community outreaches. He does uniforms for the kids. He schools, you know, educates the kids. It's just this amazing ministry in Cap Haitien that we're able just to come alongside and help. And that's something that you guys supported this year. That's something that you guys made happen. And I actually got a call from him last night, just today, and Merry Christmas, and, you know, checking in. It's just an amazing ministry that we get a chance to be a part of. And so many of you guys, you remember Chris Cook in Prague. He's been there a year and a half now. And you guys, so many of you give towards that. And you encourage him and pray. And I just want to encourage you, continue to pray for these things. Like I said, I'm not up here fundraising. This is my favorite Sunday there. I don't have to push anything. I'm just up here to pat you on the back. I'm just up here to say, good job, church. Well done. And you remember in India, You might have heard me talk in previous sermons about my friend Michael, who works in the leper colony in Gulbarga, India. And we took a team 2 years ago from the church to Mumbai, and we worked with Karuna, with the lepers there. And it was a ministry that he had started in Mumbai. And you can see this, like, it was before he moved into the leper colony. You can see this, like, almost like belt of a difference he's been making across the country. And I love Michael because he's always on the move. He's always thinking of something new. And so about a year and a half ago, he decided to take in 12 boys. And he's already working with the lepers, already, you know, started this thing. And then he wants to take in 12 boys with his already family in a very small house and decide he wanted to make a boys' home. And so he took them in and he started to feed them and share the gospel and put them in schools. And he's wanted to enlarge, and we were able to help him. You guys might not know, we took a bunch of your money and we helped him with that home. And we sowed it into the kingdom of God. And it's just an amazing thing. And so now they're looking for land, and they've been looking to enlarge because they want to take in more boys. And they want to help more of the children of lepers. And it's just this awesome ministry that you guys get to be a part of. And so, like I said, whenever you're having, you know, you're having your Christmas with your family and different things, keep this on your mind, that this is something you were a part of this year. And we're going to continue all of these different things in 2016. We want to continue to help them. We want to go further. We want to just continue to leverage everything we have as a church for the kingdom of God. And so I want this to be kind of a vision Sunday too, right before we break in 2016, just to kind of put this in your guys' mind. You're saying, well, hey, I want to be a part of that. I already give, but I want to be a part. I want to go. I want to do. I want to serve. And I just want to kind of give you a roadmap of what we're looking at, because we're going to continue all of these, but we'll also have some trips that we're planning. And I'd love for you guys to consider going. In June, we're going to Cuba again. We're going to take the next installment. We're going to continue to work with Pastor Lyon with his sports ministry. That's going to be the first week in June. That's open area. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you can come with us. You can come with us to Cuba. You can see the work. You can see the church. You can see the next installment. It's going to be an exciting trip. That's in June. We'd love to have you. In July, we're doing the $99 mission trip. That's like our biggest response out of any of them, right? So for $100, $100 takes you from the door of the church to Mexico, 3 days, and then back. That's transportation, food, lodging, everything, right? I make no promises about the quality is good. The quality of the food is good. I'm cooking, right? No, but $100 takes you there and back for the trip to Mexico. That's three days in July. And I would love to have that one. I don't care how many people go. We'll take the whole church if we want to. That's a fantastic trip. And then in September, we're going to Nepal. If that's the area of the world that appeals to you or that touches your heart, we're going to go to Nepal. We're going to work in a hospital, in a church, and in a school in Nepal in September. And then in November, we're going to Albania. And so the Stuckies, if you remember, they were missionaries there, and they still have contacts. They actually got back about a month ago, and they said there's a huge number of need for adjustable eyeglasses. And so we're going to do Operation 2020 trip where we take glasses. And the more of you that come, the more glasses we can take. Because if you've ever taken a trip with me, you know, I stuff your suitcase. You can take like one shirt, one pair of pants, and I'm going to stuff it with stuff, right? So I got plans for your suitcase already. But if you want to come with us, that is in November during Thanksgiving week. So I would love, take 1 year. You have Thanksgiving every year, right? Take 1 year. And spend your Thanksgiving week just reaching out and doing. We would love to have you on one of these trips. It is fantastic. But you say, well, you know, I can't do that. I can't get away. I want to tell you, finally, I want to close with the mission trip that is the closest, the most, you know, the closest to this point right now. And that is on Tuesday. We're having our outreach for the homeless. And that's Tuesday from noon to 2:30. You can come for 30 minutes during your lunch break. You can come the whole time. You can come early in the morning, stay the whole day. You can do whatever. It's as hands-on or as hands-off as you want. But that's on Tuesday. And this has been, our church is, you guys have grabbed hold of this the last few years. It's just been amazing. This is on, we usually feed somewhere between 60 to 80 of the homeless in Baton Rouge. We bring them right here in the fellowship hall from 12 to 2:30, and we treat them like royalty. We give them the best meal. You should have Thanksgiving meal this time. It's Christmas because I was in Africa during Thanksgiving. But we bring them, and we just want to treat them like they are number one. And we're able to share the gospel with them. We're able to share food with them. It's just an amazing time. And usually between 70, 80, if you guys come out, I would love to have you on Tuesday. That's 12 to 2:30. And it's funny, during the first service, this was attached to, we had all the food ready to cook. And I needed you guys to take it home and cook it and bring it back on Tuesday. But I have one turkey left. Like, that is it. Like, everybody, at first service, they were fighting over food in the back, like which one they want to cook. We have one turkey left. If you want to make something for it, I will not stop you, but we had all the other stuff taken. So if you want to cook a turkey, be the first person to the back middle at the break, and you can cook a turkey. Otherwise, guys, we would love to have you come out on Tuesday and just serve. Just see kind of the hurting that's in our city. And just be able to do that. And you can bring your kids. If you want to check them out of school, I guarantee you, for those 2 hours, this will be more important than anything that they're learning there. I guarantee you this will be a life-changing thing for them to be able to see this kind of thing and be able to serve with their parents, be able to serve alongside of you guys. So we would love to have you. Again, that's Tuesday, 12 to 2:30, and that's that one. So guys, I wanted to just pat you on the back this morning. I'm going to pray, and then we're gonna take a short break for our offering and things. And it's amazing. It's why we don't make a big deal about the offering, because you guys are so generous. It blows me away every single Sunday that we're able to give towards these kind of things. And it's just because of you guys. It's not anything we do, nothing that we, you know, get up here and try to guilt you into. Honestly, you guys are just generous. And so I know it's, you know, you don't do that for the accolades, you don't do it for the pat on the back, but I want to pat you on the back. I want to just say, good job, church. So let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for these people. God, I thank you for the first service and the second service, God, for all of Victory, Lord, and I thank you for their hearts. God, that they want to reach out around the world. They want to reach out internationally, God. They want to just reach out to, Father, believers in Western Sahara, believers in the Ukraine, in Cuba, in Mexico, God. And they want to just pour into them, Lord. We want to come alongside because we believe the kingdom of God is there. We believe that there are lights in the darkness, God, and we just want to encourage those lights. We want to step alongside and support them. So, God, I pray over every heart. And then, Lord, I pray over Tuesday, Lord, that we would go, Father, with the compassion that you have for these people. God, that we would treat them like the royalty that you see them as, Lord. We would treat them as individual people, God, that you made in your image. That we want to feed and we want to clothe and we want to give things to, God, because you gave to us. And we just want to support them, God, and let them know that we're praying for them and we're with them and we love them. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Guys, we're going to take a quick 10-minute break, and then we'll be right back here. I have a short sermon. I promise it's short, but we'll just take a quick break and meet right back here.